Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're averaging a triple-double for the first half of the season, and you are not starting in the NBA All-Star game. Is something wrong with that equation?
No, because you're still going to make the All-Star game. And guess what? Russell Westbrook is still going to lead the Western Conference in shots taken. Just because you don't get to hear your name called and you don't get to run out through the tunnel of players and high five, it just is the fans speaking. The fans have spoken, Russ, and you're not their favorite. They like James Harden more. They like Steph Curry more, even if you're averaging numbers that we haven't seen since Oscar Robertson.
Here's Steph Curry on the situation.
I mean, it's a big storyline just because, like you said, those two guys are doing amazing things this year. There's only two spots that you know, you can fill, so you know, unfortunately somebody was going to be left off. I've been on the other side of that, you know, 4 years ago, and just, you know, that's how it goes. But the fact that I get to, you know, obviously, like I said, represent, you know, my team in that game and to be able to start is something that I definitely appreciate.
Could you make an adjustment here and say we're going to start three guards? We're not going to go with the traditional NBA lineup. How about a three-guard lineup to make up for what this is? Or, blasphemy in this town, but I understand the point, Westbrook over Curry.
Yeah, I think, Joe, that I'm not saying necessarily got it right, but you trust the process. You want the fans to have a vote. You want the owners to have a vote. You want the players to have a vote and the coaches to have a vote. Then this is the process that's put in place. I mean, we live in a democracy, and everyone love democracy, love the freedom, be able to vote and do all the things, freedom of speech, and all of a sudden something don't go as well, a la the election, what's going on right now. You see what happens. What happened? There was people, this vote and all this popular vote. Hey, it's a part of the process. So if you don't like it, then change it. If you're not, just sit back. He's still going to play, still going to be all-star, still can make contributions. He still can do a lot of wonderful things, you know, so I'm okay with it. Should he have made it? Absolutely. And he's going to make it. But should he have been? Yeah, but it is what it is.
The contract situation is what stings a little bit for me. If somehow the finances and the bonuses these guys have the opportunity to earn, they don't get because we leave it up to the fans. The fans are valuable in so many ways. But if the fans were making financial decisions, everybody in baseball would be $400 billion over the salary cap. Everyone in football would have nothing but wide receivers and quarterbacks lining up on the field because no one pays attention to the line, and I understand that. But that's where the fans can't come into play. We want to give them what they ask for here. That's what the NBA is saying. The All-Star game is for you. It's basically fan appreciation night in the middle of the season. Who do you want to see play each other? Here's your opportunity. But if there's a bonus in that contract, that's got a sting knowing your play, in all honesty, outdid Steph Curry this year, yet you won't be able to collect.
Well, that's on the agent, and that's on Russell Westbrook for not being as likable as Steph Curry. As the agent, you know the process of the All-Star voting. So if you build in a $250,000 or $100,000 bonus for him to be an All-Star starter, that's on you. And it's also on the Oklahoma City PR department for, and I'll say it, and this is not pandering, not being as good as the Golden State Warriors. No team in the NBA is better at social media, at promoting their players and promoting their brand, than the Warriors. For the past month, it's been dub the vote. Zaza Pachulia got 1.5 million votes, and that's driven in large part by the PR staff pumping this on Twitter and putting the message out there at games and across multiple platforms. It works.
And Joe, here's the thing. Let's be brutally honest. If you're going to a basketball game and you want to say if James Harden's playing, not James Harden, but if this guy's playing and you have Steph Curry and you have Westbrook, people come to stadiums just to watch Steph shoot around.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it, he's more of a pill. People rather watch Steph with his dribbling, his three-point ball, where he can shoot from all over the court. Believe, even with Westbrook, how electrifying he is, people and the fans, they like what Steph can do better.
If you take the Warriors starting five and you have an opportunity to build a five-man team with anyone else in the NBA that you'd want, could you build a team that could beat these guys one-on-one? No bench, no reserves. I don't know if you'd play 48 minutes in that instance because you wouldn't want to wear him down, but it's a hypothetical. So it's Clay, Steph, Draymond, KD, and then however you want to play with it at the five. If you want to go with Pachulia or you want to go in some other direction, fine. But it's going to be those four plus your choice for the fifth guy and then a five-man roster of all-stars. Can you build a team that can beat the Warriors?
If they
one
play,
game.
If they, no, no. I'd put my money on the Warriors. If they played three games, I think the Warriors would win two out of three. I think the team would beat them once.
Absolutely, you can. And I've just used my blue highlighter here and sketched out a five that I think would compete. And if you're the Warriors, Joe, and I'll give you the Warriors for this exercise, you can go super death lineup with Iguodala, or you can go Zaza. But I'm going to come at you with Kyrie, LeBron. Actually, Kyrie Harden would play my off-guard spot. My front court would be LeBron, Anthony Davis, and I'd throw in Karl Anthony Towns for some rim protection and some rebounding. I got solid defense. I have explosive scoring. I got three-point shooting in Harden. I think my team beats the Warriors.
So it'd be Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, Karl Anthony Towns. Who am I?
I went Anthony Davis. Kawhi is a great choice.
You didn't go with Kawhi Leonard?
No.
No, I went with Karl Anthony Towns. A little youthful exuberance in the front court.
Is there something your way? I see you doing all types of movement over there, I'm wondering, is it radio-related or is it?
No, I was doing something else. But, yeah, I was kind of interested about not putting Kawhi. Also, got to say, the Greek Freak has been pretty dang good.
See, I knew that was coming.
I mean,
as sure as Lowe talks about Fresno State, Anna's going to Antetokounmpo.
Between the two of them, it'd be the Freak and it'd be Biombo.
That's it.
Good team, right?
It'd be a two-man team.
That would be.
No, it'd be hard. It would be hard to beat this team, though. Because, Joe, you got to also take in consideration, they ain't going to have the gel. They're not gelling as well as this Warrior team's already got the chemistry. So if you said, hey, look, we're going to give you guys a week or 2 weeks to prepare, I just don't see them beating them even in a three-game series. I think this Warrior team's will beat them, especially if you just say, let's stay with that lineup. Even though that lineup that he talked about still can't spread the floor as good as this T-Dub team. Still can't shoot the three ball even close to this team. None of those guys he talked about. Harden can't shoot the three better than Steph. Clay's just as good. And you look at KD. So when you talk about just range and spreading the score, KD can play a big man, can do it all. You see how many blocks he has, what he can do, put the ball in the court. They're just that's a pretty dominant team that you're throwing out there. That's why it's just going to be hard pressed. I just think the Dibs, if you look at it, not enough gel, not enough chemistry, it's going to be hard to beat them.
Any thoughts on Paul George?
Yeah.
To that team. Any thoughts on Boogie Cousins on that team?
No, not really.
It's one
thought.
Game. He might be able to keep it together for one game. Remember, a lot of people feel if you got him outside of Sacramento, put him on a new team, you might get a new Boogie Cousins.
During this conversation, he's already picked up a flagrant and a technical, and he's punched the bench twice. It's a pass for me on Boogie Cousins. You're tempted by the upside, and you know, some nights he goes out and has 38 and 21. It's like, this guy could be the best player on the planet. And then next thing you know, he's getting ejected or he's fighting with a reporter. Too unstable for me, Joe.
Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
LeBron James in the dunk contest. He's never done it. This is All-Star Weekend. This is for the people. They have made it very clear that the vote is going to be for the people. You pick these guys to play in a game, you get these guys to play in a game. Yet the one guy everyone's always wanted to see in a dunk contest has never appeared in a dunk contest. Did that ever strike you as a problem, Dibs? Or were you one of those guys that said, you know what, he doesn't want to play, he doesn't want to do it, so be it.
Well, I get that he has a choice and he's not required to do the dunk contest, but you're the best dunker in the league and you have been for a long time. And this all came up because we were watching the highlights, Low. You and I,
yeah.
Lowe said, watch this. And he jumps from just inside the foul line and yak him. He wrecks the rim. Then he comes down a little bit later, baseline, goes under the rim, double cuff.
Rock the baby.
Reverse rock the baby. And it's a shame, Joe, because this guy is the number one attraction in the NBA on a worldwide basis. Yet, on the grandest stage, he shies away. And I think it says a little bit about his character, not wanting to put himself out there and fail. I'm King James. You know, I'm Superman. I can do everything. But in a situation where it is subjective and maybe you would lose the contest, he doesn't put himself out there. And to me, it's a big disappointment that he's never done the dunk contest.
Well, here's where I differ from you. This guy's got a huge brand, a huge following. And I don't think people really care about that. They care about just his bravado, his air. I mean, think about this. This guy still is the number one, Joe. When you're talking about all-star voting, LeBron runs away with it. They want to see LeBron. So I don't think it would. I don't think that they would still take away from who he is because the guy doesn't dunk. I don't think it makes him a coward. I don't think this makes this guy Dibs it. Oh, he doesn't believe. He's a little soft. He's a little fragile. No way. It's LeBron James. He backs down from nothing, coach.
He backs down from this, and that's why he's never done it. Michael Jordan did the dunk contest.
Different times, though. They had to. I mean, it was the game then. It was what everyone do. I mean, you got a lot of guys don't do the dunk contest. I don't put that kind of weight on this guy. I don't think that he's coward. I don't think that he's soft because he won't do it. Just don't want to do. What has he got to lose, coach? What has he got to gain, coach?
He's got everything to gain. He could go down in history as one of the great dunkers to go into the dunk contest. Put yourself out there. He's got nothing to lose. You're LeBron James. You're impervious. You've got this shell of invincibility.
Well, you just said, Dibs, that you just said he's one of the best dunkers in the game. That's what you said. That came out of your mouth, not mine. So if you say that, so why go out and do it? You already said he is. Why does he have to go to a dunk contest?
It's the cool factor. LeBron James isn't really viewed as a cool guy. He's viewed as a great player, an intense dude, great teammate, great leader in the community. No one looks at him as cool. That's what it is. Vince Carter was freaking cool, man. Yeah. Vince Carter was a cool guy. Dominique Wilkins was cool. MJ jumping from the free throw line was cool. Constantly getting people teased up like you're going to do it and then not doing it, not cool. No one's really interested in that. James is one of the greatest basketball players that's ever lived. He's one of the most ferocious competitors that's ever lived. He is the most valuable player in the National Basketball Association. He is the most important player in the National Basketball Association. But he's not cool. He flops. He complains. He starts little fights. And that's all gamesmanship. But that's where the dunk contest could have helped him out. He's not a cool guy.
Are you saying, see, because I think LeBron James is cool. I think that he has swag. I think that a lot of people think he has swag. But if you're saying the dunk contest will make him cooler, maybe. But LeBron James, last I look, you look at the voting, you look at everything that he does, I think people think that he's a cool guy.
He's a popular guy.
Yeah,
there's a difference. Cool. Vince Carter was never the best player in the National Basketball Association. Vince Carter had swag. Vince Carter was cool. Joe Namath was cool. He wasn't the best quarterback of all time, not even close. But Joe Namath was cool. Johnny Unitas was popular. That's the difference. People vote for James because you can go overseas. The Chinese love him. The Chinese love him. People overseas love him. He will always get a ton of votes because he's LBJ. No one's knocking what he does on the court. He's just not. He doesn't come across as a cool guy. That's what it comes down to with the dunk contest. Dunk contest isn't about being a great basketball player. It is a cool event. It is a swagger event. Antonio Brown and OBJ are not the best football players in the National Football Association, but they are cool guys the way they go about their business. That was cool being on that boat. Anyone that was defending them, looking at the Timbs and the jeans and hanging out in the boat in Miami because they had the means to do it, that's cool, right? People are following Antonio Brown on social media because they think that's cool. LeBron James going out and winning the dunk contest would be cool, but he never chose to do it. It's not a knock on him. It's fine because there's two words that you guys are missing as to why you don't do something like that. Sean Livingston, you go out there and you wreck your leg. Everything for the rest of your career could be altered. And if you don't want to take the risk of getting injured, I'll never fault you for that. You are a business. You are a brand. It is important you manage it properly. But if you want to take a risk and you want to go out there and be in the dunk contest, there's your cool factor.
Yeah, but there's a lot of superstars, guys, that's in this league that was in a dunk contest and wasn't necessarily cool. Kobe Bryant, I don't think necessarily people look at as cool. Hell of a player.
Not a dunker, though. Not a dunker at that level.
Dude could throw it down, could fly, did his tongue out, did everything. He emulated Michael Jordan, but he was never cool. There's a lot of guys just have a certain aura about them, they're just not cool.
Yeah, I don't think Kobe was ever going to be able to dunk at that level. And the thing that makes me a little infuriated about LeBron, and we saw it last night, Lo, is as we get closer to the All-Star break, you're going to see LeBron in games, Joe, throwing down these hellacious, eye-popping, oh, what if LeBron, is it this year? Will you do it? Oh, you know, I'm going to have to meet with my team, but I don't think so. Stop playing coy. Be the superstar that you say you are.
Love it, though.
If you're the answer, Lo, if you're really the answer, or that was Allen Iverson, if you're the king, then go ahead and put your crown out there. Don't sit up there in your ivory tower and let the nation watch what Andre Drummond. Ooh, don't miss Andre Drummond in the dunk contest. Give me a break. Zach LaVine's a nice dunker. Wouldn't it be great to see Zach LaVine go up against LeBron James and throw in Anna's love child, Antetokounmpo, another guy who could throw it down, but you're not going to see him in there either. You're going to have these third-tier guys, and I love Aaron Gordon. Shout out Archbishop Mitty, San Jose, California. He was in the dunk contest last year. He's a savage dunker. But imagine one of these guys, Joe, a young player going up against the king. I'm the king, but I'll be over here in my sweats.
But that's why you don't do it. Because when you play
Because
when you play chess, the king and the pawn, they end up in the same box. You protect the king. The king ain't the one that can do all the great moves. The king is the one that, hey, look, I'm the king. He's earned that.
So the pawns, you got what? Shumpert and Kyrie, Dellavedova, all his little people. I know he's not on the Cavs anymore, but if you're really the king, step out there like the real kings did. Dominique Wilkins, Michael Jordan. They went head to bleep and head, low. LeBron's going to sit in the front row and hold up number 10 and like, oh, did you see that, Zach LaVine?
Oh, no, he didn't.
Step up and put your shoes on, Bronny.
From the 707 on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. In your opinion, is Steph Curry cool or popular? Steph's both. Steph made the dribble cool. Steph made warming up cool. Steph made the three-pointer cool. That's a whole different style of swag right there. This was a game where it was all about the dunk contest. How many years prior to Steph did you give a damn about the three-point contest? Did you even know when it was taking place? Did you even know who was in it? But now that Steph and Clay are in it, it's a thing. In fact, it drew more attention last year than the dunk contest has been doing.
Yeah.
It's that important. Steph's cool on a whole nother level. It doesn't mean dunking's the only thing that's cool. That's just one of the things that could have taken LeBron's game to another level. Instead, you go to Miami, you get up on a stage, and you ride a banana boat, and people call you a punk, like the whole text line is. He's not a punk. He's the best and most important player in the game. But if you wanted that cool factor, the dunk contest would have been the place for you.
Now, back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Turner Sports NBA analyst, former NBA head coach Stu Jackson, joining Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Stu, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us. We want to get right into the NBA All-Star Game. Obviously, there's the conversation about whether or not Russell Westbrook was snubbed. Should he have been a starter? But in the end of the day, do you agree with the process with which how the NBA goes about the voting, or should they change that a bit?
Well, I agree with the philosophy that there should be some mix of the fan voting as well as player and coaching, coach and media voting. I like that idea. I don't know if the ratio is the right mix. The one thing that did surprise me a little bit yesterday is just the number of players that didn't take the vote seriously and having the right to vote for themselves. There was, certainly a significant number of players that, voted for themselves. And, you know, I think in terms of the Westbrook, starting, I was a little bit surprised. I mean, here you have a guy that for the first time in decades is averaging a triple-double. And I dare I say at the end of the season, if he's still averaging a triple-double, Westbrook, that is, I don't know how you keep him out of the MVP vote. But he's not a starter on the All-Star team. It just seems a little bit surprising to me. But, it is what it is. I still think he's one of the top three players in the league.
And he still will be added to the All-Star reserves to be absolutely certain. And only 12, though, on each side, the West and the East. Is it time, Stu, maybe to expand the rosters to 15, even though that would maybe cut into some playing time for some of the frontline guys?
Well, you know, I think that's a little bit easier said than done. I mean, if you expand the All-Star roster, it has a financial impact as well. There are many players that, have bonuses in their contract and other things that are activated within the collective bargaining agreement because they're an All-Star. So it's not just something you can paint with a broad brush and have it happen tomorrow. There are other implications here in doing that. But, yeah, there's a case to be made. I think. You know, to go to 15 or even go to 13, just to give more players a chance to have that honor. But really what we're talking about is we're in an age here, an era in the NBA at an all-time high in terms of the popularity of the league, but the number of very good players that are performing at a very high level, and that in and of itself might be case enough to expand the All-Star roster.
Last night I watched LeBron James, and you see what he was able to do against the Suns. Amazing guy, made the slam the ball the way he jammed. He was doing it all last night. What would it mean to the NBA if you had a LeBron James in the dunk contest? What would it do for the ratings? And do you think a guy like that sometimes needs to put it on the line?
You know, it's been long debated, but really it's a personal choice, LeBron. Sure. And, you know, we're in a different era here with players in terms of, you know, their own brand, their marketability, and how things can change from day to day. And if you look at it from LeBron James' standpoint, he really has nothing to win. He only has everything to lose if, in fact, he doesn't win the dunk contest. And I think for him, you know, his own personal branding needle gets moved a little bit if, in fact, he enters the contest and somehow, you know, doesn't win. The other thing is he's probably in an age right now. Physically, he doesn't want to do that. The dunk contest itself really does, unbeknownst to many, take a little bit physically out of players after that weekend and that contest. It's sort of like the home run derby in baseball. If you listen to baseball players, they'll say the same thing. So at this point, I doubt that he ever does it, and I think that window has passed, and it's unfortunate because there was a day where, you know, without any argument at all, he would have won the contest.
Turner Sports NBA analyst Stu Jackson with Joe Lowen-Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Stu, if you have the Golden State starting five taking on the Eastern Conference starting five in terms of their all-stars, who wins that game?
Well, it's difficult to say because it doesn't matter which five players you put out there defensively against the Warriors. They're a tough guard because of the way of they spread the floor, their level of offensive efficiency, the fact that, you know, they shoot from, you know, over 50% from the floor. I don't care who you put out there to prepare for that game and for this team. It's very, very difficult. I don't know who would win. I'm not dodging the question, but I would say this. It's not a slam dunk that some all-star team with preparation would beat the Warriors, you know, 10 out of 10 games.
Three Western Conference starters on the floor tonight as the Warriors take on the Rockets in a game that looks to be an offensive showcase on both sides. Is this new blueprint for the NBA good for basketball, Stu?
I believe it is, and I base that opinion on the fact that something I mentioned before, this game's popularity is at an all-time high, and it's evidenced by, you know, focus groups that the NBA conducts, the metrics as it relates to television ratings. So you have to feel that some of that popularity is really born in the fact that it's just such an exciting game to watch, and never have there been two more exciting teams than the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors, who right now are both 1 and 2 in offensive efficiency in the NBA. I expect a very high-scoring game. It's going to be an exciting game. Obviously, very charged being on Houston's home court and thinking that they do have a chance to knock off the team with the best record in the league. So, yeah, I think it's great. The debate has always been, are we shooting too many three-point shots? I do think we're getting to a tipping point in terms of just, you know, the fact that the game may be a little bit homogenous, and I do worry about that slightly, but right now, I sit back and enjoy it if you're a fan, and I am myself, and I certainly do.
Stay up to date with the latest NBA news, scores, and highlights through NBA TV's daily studio coverage, including Game Time and Crunch Time. Turner Sports NBA analyst Stu Jackson with Joe Lowen-Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Stu, thank you so much for your time. It was great catching up. Hopefully we can do it again down the road.
No, hey, thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
Now, back to Joe Lowen-Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We are bringing back a special feature that we've used throughout the football season because of the news that broke yesterday. Go ahead and hit it.
It's time for Raiders on the 15.
Raiders to Las Vegas. This is a special edition of Raiders on the 15 following yesterday's news that the Raiders have officially applied for relocation to Las Vegas. First question I'm going to throw to you guys today as we work this topic in throughout the show. Do you believe when the vote comes down in March, the Raiders will get the 24 necessary votes they need to relocate to Vegas?
I actually don't, Joe. And it's one of those things that it's going to be either unanimous or the vote won't come up. The NFL owners don't want to see a no vote, in my opinion. I think this thing's going to get pushed another year because too many question marks about this proposal in Vegas.
Loneal.
Joe, it's possible, but it's not probable. Too much change isn't good. Just like in any time we have democracy, too much change isn't good. You have three teams, three teams that would be leaving within a year or so. Too much change. Not good for an NFL. I don't believe they'll get the necessary 24. No.
Raiders to Vegas. Stay with 95.7 The Game throughout the day and weekend, and we will break in with any new developments. I think you make a very interesting point there. The NFL does not exactly come across as a very well-oiled machine at the moment. You've got teams just moving all over the place. Generally, it's one, and you hear about it for years, and then it happens, and then you settle in, and then you move on. And that's life. Or an expansion team comes into play, like the Browns, or the Panthers and Jags back in the day, or the Texans. But this is like the Rams bolt for L.A. We get it. Suddenly San Diego's going to L.A., and it's not met with applause by anyone. L.A. does not care. San Diego's furious. And then on the heels of that, the Raiders filed their papers on the 15-year anniversary of the Tuck Rule to go down to Las Vegas. So Raider Nation, we want to hear from you. 888-957-9570. First of all, that's a tough beat to have to get that news on the 15-year anniversary of the Tuck Rule. That is not lost on us. But are you going to continue to support this team if they leave? Because I've heard before, Raider Nation, they'll stand by it and they'll deal with it. True fans are always true fans, but this is a tough blow for a fan base that is now going to have their team ripped away from them, not once, but twice, Dennis.
A second time, and it's tough. You know, we talked about it yesterday, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. And it's hard when you're emotionally invested in it. For me, as a Raider fan at the level at which I'm a Raider fan, which is about a game a year, I go as a journalist, but I go as a fan about once a year.
Shout out Dirt Lot.
Thank you, Dirt Lot and my people. Would I go to Vegas once a year? Probably not. It would be more like once every 2, 3, or 4 years, quite frankly.
I'm going to call your bluff. I think we're going to go to Vegas every year. I think we would have to. We wouldn't attend the game. I sure as hell wouldn't attend the game. I'd be honest.
But we would just go.
We would go under the guise that we have to cover this game, and then we would not attend the game. Come back, oh, honey, it was a great game. Great game, kept it together, didn't lose any money. Meanwhile, all the skeletons piling up in the closet.
Shout out the desert lot.
Plenty of dirt lots out there in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it is.
That's one of the
home of the dirt lot.
The charming elements of the Coliseum that could carry over should something like this happen. Manny and Oxnard, thank you for holding. If the Raiders move to Las Vegas, are you going to continue to support the franchise?
Of course. I grew up in Sacramento. I joined the military 23 years. I made the haul from wherever I lived. I even saw a game when I was in Iceland. I came home to watch a game. It's just that's my team. Regardless, as long as they don't change his name, they don't change the colors, I'm a fan always.
How does it feel emotionally though to hear this news, especially in the wake that for all these years that you've supported them through thick and thin, and it's mostly been thin over the last decade. Now you finally get a 12-win season. You look like you have a franchise quarterback, and then the team's getting ripped away from you.
Honestly, the most painful one was the original, because I grew up in Sacramento. When they moved to LA, that hurt. But then when I saw it was still the same team, still the same program, and, you know, the fact that Derek Carr is the quarterback, it just makes it more exciting to watch. I'm going to stay a fan.
Manny, I appreciate the phone call. Very well said. Reggie in Philly, we always love hearing from you. Reggie, the show's yours. If the team moves to Vegas, are you going to continue to support them?
I would support them, absolutely. But coming from a fan that's neutral as far as me living in the Bay Area, I do feel bad for the fans of the Bay Area. I always wanted to visit the Bay Area, and that's primarily to go to a Raiders game. I've been to L.A. a few times. I just don't think it's a good idea going to Vegas. I'll still support them, but with the fan base being so transient in Vegas, I think the home field advantage will take a hit, and I think Raider Nation as a whole might take a hit. I just don't see it being that rabid fan support like it would be in Oakland, unless Mark Davis really believes that with Vegas being in such close proximity to L.A., that he's going to steal a lot of the L.A. and Southern California fan base away and have them travel to Vegas. And if that's the case, if the league looks into that, do you think the owners of both know if they see a potential of a large chunk of their L.A. fan base that they're trying to build up for the Rams and the Chargers going to Vegas every weekend? Do you think they'll both know and try to block that move if they fear that?
That is certainly a legitimate point. I can say, having lived in Vegas for 3 years, when you're listening to local sports talk, a lot of the conversation will focus around the Lakers and the Chargers and the teams in Southern California, because You know, you don't have anyone to root for in Las Vegas. Those are the teams of the people. The Lakers got quite a bit of time. Although I will say the Dubs got a heck of a lot of time down there when they started to pop. And explain to me, and Reggie made an excellent point about how Raider Nation as a whole could take a hit. Nikki is due in a few weeks
right.
with a baby boy. Mm-hmm. Assuming we are here for the long term, which is exactly what we'd like to be. Right here, he grows up in the Bay Area. He doesn't have any of that Philadelphia influence on him because who would want to do that to a child? Who would want to
do that?
She's cool. tried to imply that maybe her Sabres and Bills will be imparted on the child. They have already kiboshed that. It will not be happening. So with that out of the equation, getting the opportunity to grow up here and to pick a football team, generally you would have a choice. Us being the Raider flagship, that's the direction I would be steering him. But with no Raider team in town, will all the youth that's being born over the next few years gravitate towards the Niners? You were one of these people back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in the East Bay. The perfect example, though, is my husband. He was born and raised in Oakland, and he didn't have the Raiders around when he was born, when he was a kid. And his cousins are from San Francisco. So they grew up Niner fans, so he hung out with them all the time. Watched the Niner games with them and became a Niner fan.
And because there was no alternative,
right?
The Niners were the only team you could root for.
Because they weren't there. They were able to go to the games, you know, family time, go to the games. And that's the thing. That's also the hard thing also, too, now with football and games as a whole being expensive. You can't take the families out to games.
Especially
really
a Greek
expensive.
Family.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be like $2 million.
My goodness. It costs way too much. So it's hard. You don't get that.
Div, similar situation, but a couple generations before. Maybe a singular generation before.
I better get my flag ready.
But do you see that as being a potential issue? Because when the option's not there, it's great to sell the idea of the Raider fan base.
Yeah.
But if your team isn't actually in town and you got another team down there in Santa Clara, I mean, that's your closest option.
I think it's less of a factor now than it was back in my day, Joseph. Because now with this thing called the internet and the fact that all these games are on TV, if you want to be a Texans fan out here in California, you can be a Texans fan.
True.
One of my son's closest friends is a New Orleans Saints fan. Shout out Lo Neal from his time in New Orleans, because when he was 7 or 8, they were good. He picked that team and he stuck with them. And you can see every game with the NFL package and the red zone. So I think it's mitigated a little bit by that, but the Niners would certainly benefit.
It all comes down to money. This whole thing's very simple. There are a lot of fingers to point. There's a lot of blame to be handed out, but what you have is an owner who can't afford to build his own building. That's it. If you want to be an owner in the National Football League, if you want a new stadium, go pay for it. That's it. Dibs, you want a new car? You go pay for it. Lo, you want to buy a house? You go pay for it. Anna, you want to buy something for your son? You go pay for it. Don't go walking around asking people to give you money. Just go pay for it. Go get it done. Bring someone else in. Find some help. But stop looking to the people. Stop asking them for handouts. You are wealthier than 99.9% of America. No one wants to hear about how you need money. I want to figure out real social issues. I don't care that you need money for a new stadium. I don't care that you feel jaded by the community. I also don't care for the city of Oakland and the county trying to make it front this whole lot investment group thing with the whole, all that is a way of saying when the Raiders leave, you know, we tried, still vote for us. We tried. No, you didn't. You didn't try. And I don't blame you because the people don't want to pay for the stadium. Ownership of the Raiders, I don't feel bad for you one bit that you're not getting any money for the stadium here because people have wised up. People here, smarter than they get credit for nationwide. They're tired of paying for the billionaires to go out and get what they want. Build your own damn stadium, pay for it yourself, and then you can charge what you want. That's the problem. If you want to go to Vegas to get it, good luck to you. But what's the first rule of business? Location, location, location. If you're going to go from $7 million to a max of 2 when the economy's good, good luck with that location.
Yeah, I, Joe, I agree with you. And like the call earlier, a guy from Philly called in. You're going to be pulling guys from L.A., fans from L.A. and San Diego, and that market is clustered in that area. People drive from L.A. to Vegas. They drive from San Diego to Vegas. I think you got three teams there, too close a proximity. One, two, Joe, and Dibs. I think the NFL is just – they're out of touch. You just lost a lawsuit for $76 billion that you got to pay out to us for the guys that you know, with the concussions and the different things that go on. Goes to tell you that this league has a lot of money. You could have built how many stadiums with that money? I mean, think about how much money.
You can't pay for any of it. Damon Bruce suggested this yesterday, too. He made a fascinating point about how the NFL should be paying for it. The NFL can't do that. If the NFL does that, from now until the end of time, they are on the hook for paying for every single stadium. The second the NFL comes in and says, you know what, Raiders, we'll pay for it for you, no city, taxpayer group anywhere on the planet is going to pony up. You can't afford to do that.
Do you do it where you say, okay, it's a bridge loan? More of a, not to say I'm giving you the stadium. I'm saying, okay, just like they got to pay the relocation, you say, here's a deal. We're going to play the bank. We're going to do a revenue share where we're going to take less money is going to come to your pocket, Mr. Davis, but we're going to take our money first. So it's going to be for the next 10 years, maybe a 70-30 split. You know, do something like that where you're saying, hey, if you want to stay here and still you want to still do this, here's how it's going to funnel. This is how it's going to work. Maybe that's something that the league, I think, maybe should get involved
in. Well, does that mean that the league ends up owning a piece of the Raiders?
I think they own a piece until
then. I don't trust it. I don't trust any scenario in which the league owns one of the teams.
Well, just
so what happens when the tuck rule occurs? What happens if the NFL did something like that for Bob Kraft and then the tuck rule occurs? I'm calling collusion. I'm calling scam. I'm calling scandal. If some team owned by the league gets the benefit of the doubt in any situation, in any game, at any point in time, ever.
Sure, then make it just a loan. Make it
then
just a loan.
Then every other tax base around the country is going to say, bridge loan us. If I'm in Atlanta, I'm not paying taxes. Do the bridge loan they did in Oakland. If I'm in LA, if I'm in San Diego, I'm not paying taxes. I'm not paying for this stadium. Do the bridge loan. It's the same thing. The NFL can't afford to do that because then the entire country will wake up. It sets precedent. And now everyone's going to say, I'm not voting for this. We're not paying for this. Go ahead and do your bridge loan.
Well, you're asking that you're saying that the payers should do that anyway. That's your point.
The taxpayers?
Yeah, you're saying.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you're saying that anyway, if the NFL wants to stay sustainable and do this thing in long term, then you do that because you're going to get a piece of the pie. You're going to be now more vested in more marketing, more stuff that you're doing for these teams because you're saying, no, I want revenue up even higher for the next 10 years because I'm getting, it's a 70-30 split. So even though you're doing that, you look at the ROI, you look on your return on investment, and you look at what the stadiums usually generate, now you're saying, okay, I'm getting more of the ticket sales, I'm getting more of the revenue, I'm getting more of all the clothes.
Who's I in this situation?
I will be the NFL.
So the NFL being a partial owner of the team.
Not a partial owner. So when you do a loan, even though, yeah, they own, it's the loan.
Okay.
I understand that part when you say own because it's their loan. But I'm using it as a loan. So if they loan the Raiders the money, not all of it, the Raiders got the much money that they have. They put in and then they say, here's what the difference. We're going to give you this, but we're not doing this at no 3% like a commercial loan and resident regular loan. We're going to say, look, because we need to be make whole first, because we got revenue share and all the different things that we have to do for you owners, we're taking 70% and giving you 30. So now they
sure.
get paid back faster, the league that is. The owner gets his stadium, but he's getting it back later. So I think that maybe the NFL should look into that instead of letting these teams just aimlessly run around and screw up the different marketplaces and screw up some of the fan base.
No, it's smart. But if they do that, they have to do that for every single team from now until the end of time. That's precedent. No one will ever pony up public money for a team again if the NFL shows in any instance they're willing to pay for someone else's team. Whether it's a loan, partial ownership, whether they outright pay for it, the moment they do that is the moment where who could be the next stadium up for grab? Soldier Field. If I see the Raiders getting money, Bridge, hey, the NFL just loaned the Raiders $600 million to build a stadium. Well, Soldier Field's publicly owned, so or it's part of the public works. So all of a sudden, the Bears, Virginia McCaskey, wants to build a new stadium. I need the people of Chicago to come out. No, get the NFL to loan you the money. It just happened for the Raiders. That's the thing. It sets precedent. It makes sense, but the league can't do that because then they won't ever be able to hustle the taxpayers again. That's why the league would ultimately vote yes for Vegas. It's a better business move to have the team here. More sustainable, bigger, wealthier fan base. But what's the biggest appeal to Vegas? Nothing except for the fact that, ding, 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 you're able to hustle the tax base. See, you can't hustle the tax base here. That's their number one priority. Don't worry about fans. Don't worry about where the city's going to be in 20 years. Don't worry about how bad that place will tank when the economy goes down again, like it did in 2008. All they care about is that they can get their public money there and they can keep the hustle going. The second they end up paying for it, it's over. No one will ever do it ever again.
Now, don't we have the G4 fund, Joe, that's available? Is that where this loan would come from, or is that a separate thing that the NFL proposes.
That is if you stay. They can adjust the criteria any way they want, but that's if you stay in your current location. So,
gotcha.
If you're willing to stay here, the G4 fund is like 150 or 200 million. So that's what? Not even 20% the cost of a stadium.
Right.
So they'll kick in something to help.
But if you take the money that Mark Davis would have to pay in relocation, and let's just say it's 500 million, it might be a little less, it might be a little bit more. You take the 150 from the G4 plus 500 million, you're more than two thirds of your way there toward a billion-dollar stadium.
You're saying here in Oakland?
Yes.
So you take the G4 plus the extra 100 million that the league was going to kick in.
Correct.
From kicking them out of the Los Angeles equation last year.
Right.
He takes that money from the relocation fee, and then you have PSLs and naming rights and all that. Yeah, you're partway there. He doesn't want to pay that money here in Oakland.
Right.
If he's going to put up $650 million where he already is, he thinks the community should have to do that as well. Community doesn't want to do it. You can't blame them. The bottom line is, be wealthy enough to handle your business. No one at the Raiders wants to hear that, and I'll probably get in trouble for saying
but
it.
No,
but the bottom line is, if you can't afford to build your own stadium, suck it up, leave, or sell the team. Larry Ellison could build his own stadium. The Warriors had no problem getting their business done. Stan Kroenke's building his own stadium. The Giants and the Jets work together to pay for their own stadium. Sorry if the people are tired of paying for you, but your choices are leave, deal with it, or sell the team. No one's going to shed a tear.
Someone's got to pay, though, Joe. Even if he goes to Vegas, someone's going to pay. He's not just going to go to Vegas and think that they're just going to build him. He's going to pay some money. He cannot.
He should pay for all of it. It's his team. Be an owner.
But that's why he's going to have to give up some ownership. No matter what, if he goes to Vegas, he's going to give up ownership. Hope that things work out, but it just seems like the league should try to do something. I know you're saying what you're saying, but I just think that there's other alternatives.
Now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Rob Mahoney from Sports Illustrated had a great article up yesterday on SA.com. It was about the best value deals in the National Basketball Association. Obviously, we all know what one of those contracts is. It is the four-year, $44 million deal, $11 million per year, that was given out to Steph Curry a few years back. Now, when you've got guys like Evan Turner and Timofey Mozgov making what they're making, Steph's deal looks like nothing in comparison. But that got us thinking. Lowe came in this morning, and without me having even mentioned the Steph article I was reading, he's reading an article on Bleacher Report about Madison Bumgarner and how the time's coming for the Giants and Bumgarner to get together and work on a long-term deal. Severely underpaid as well. Bumgarner, a six-year, $35.5 million deal a few years back. He's only going to make $9.75 this million combined. Steph Curry and Madison Bumgarner, $21.85 million. $21.85. Ryan Tannehill almost makes in 1 year what those two make. Joe Flacco makes more in 1 year than these two make. Sam Bradford is like $3 million shy himself of what these two are making combined this season. Which of the two, Lowe, do you think is the better value?
You know what? Right now, this year, Madison. I mean, you're getting him for peanuts. I mean, you're getting him for peanuts. And what they do, and him and Steph, they're both undervalued tremendously. It's just crazy how this thing goes. When you're talking about Tannehill getting more than both these guys combined, Tannehill, man, the guy's a bum.
I mean, and not the Bumgarner type bum.
No.
Exactly.
The on-the-street type.
The guy in Houston, the Texan, the quarterback.
Brock.
He's getting damn near more than both these two. This is ridiculous.
He has more playoff wins in the NFL than both those two combined, though. Let's be fair. Brock led that win over the Raiders. He could spin it.
Yeah, and last I checked, Bumgarner and Steph have zero career NFL postseason victories. So, I think, you might want to go back with your analysis there and figure yourself out a little bit.
It's crazy, though, Joe.
Definitely would take Osweiler.
I mean, the guy's had success. Joe, Steph, I think, is the bigger bargain. He's going to get you maybe not all 82, but he's going to get you 80 of the 82, and Bumgarner, you would say every fifth day, but then, the 2014 World Series is on the phone where he basically pitched every day. So when you get into the World Series, Bumgarner probably has more value, but throughout the course of the year, you're only going to get 34, 35 starts out of him. So I still think Steph is the bigger bargain.
Bumgarner's 27 years old right now. Curry, we know, is probably getting that max deal right in the neighborhood of $207 million. There's not really much room to project what's going to happen there. But what do you think ends up happening with Bumgarner? Because this year, 2017, he's going to make $11.5 million. 2018 is a club option for $12 million. 2019 is a club option for $12 million. Thought process is that sometime this season or at the conclusion of this season, he's going to get his new contract, which would put him at the end of this season at 28 years old. Now, David Price and Zach Greinke were both in their 30s last year when they signed deals that were worth $30 million plus per year. Is that the type of cash that's going to need to come out for Bumgarner, do you think?
It could, yeah. But then again, he might just not want to absolutely break the bank in terms of wanting some other talent around him.
He's got that truck money.
He does. And already, you know, he's a guy who comes from, you know, not simple means, but he's not a guy who's lives an extravagant lifestyle. So maybe he's not the type to want to absolutely break the bank, but you got to put him north of $25 million a year.
Here's the deal, guys. I get that. And all due respect, I understand guys take that Homer deal and they say, hey, look, I don't need a lot. Bull crap. I'm going to tell you right now, these agents and these players, Steph, I know he's a man of the cloth. I know Baumgartner's a big country boy. Hey, just give him a tobacco and let him chew and let him drive around the Ford 150. Let me tell you something.
Not allowed with the tobacco anymore.
Well,
baseball cracking down.
They're cracking down.
But he can still drive that truck.
Yeah, he sure can. I'll tell you right now, Steph's got all the shoe deals, all the. They want more. They look at the market. They say, hey, look, even though I'm a good person, all this stuff, pay me what I'm worth. I don't need it with the shoe deals and all this stuff. Shoe deals and all that stuff, it's good. But what you're trying to say is, what you're saying is, yes, they deserve the money that they deserve while they're playing their sports, not just the money outside of their sport. They deserve it just like everyone else is in the sports getting it. I thought she was going to help me out with that drop.
So let me get this right.
I'm not the drop guy. I'm not the drop guy. I only set myself up, and that's only happened like twice in 2 years.
That was good, though.
I love the point you make. Because I always wanted to believe that if I was ever in that situation, which would have never happened, but I always wanted to believe that if I could get $30 million a year, I'd want to be one of those guys where it's like, no, you know what? Give me 20, because 20 a year for how many years I'm going to be set, and then you can use that money to help the team. The fans would appreciate it. Ownership would appreciate it. You'd help with the cap if it's a certain sport, or you'd help with the luxury tax here in baseball. But then you think to yourself, that $10 million, that's like a helicopter. That's a yacht. Like
I'm giving up. Right.
Like I could have a helicopter to fly around the city, Coach.
You're right.
Like I could be the guy that comes. I could be living in the marina, like Pat the Bat. Get in my helicopter, come across the city. Wouldn't have to ride a scooter like Hunter Pence that's constantly being stolen. Land it right in center field. That'd be part of the deal, and then it could park out back. But that's how I would think. I would love to believe I take the discount, but then it's like, man, if I don't take that $10 mil, I'm giving up that helicopter.
You're giving up more than that. You're giving up more freedom. You're giving up your ability to help kids, set up your kids' kids.
I don't care about that. I want the helicopter.
Yeah, get the helicopter.
Or the yacht.
And the thing about it.
Speedboat.
Speedboat. 945. How about 1145? But here's the thing, though, Joe. It's not that you can still give a discount of $500, $1 million, $1.3 million, $1.5 million, $2 million. But when you're talking about $10 and $12 million.
No, again, I wouldn't be able to do it. That 1.2, I'd say. I mean, that could be a big-time spin on the roulette table in Vegas.
Nice. But you deserve – that's why if the market bears it, though, if the market bears it, you got to go ahead and stretch it. You got to get what you can get. Because trust me, these owners have ways to manipulate books. They know what to do. They know how to do the caps. They know how to extend it out. They know what to do.
And
trust me.
It is a little different in baseball without the salary cap and the fact that down there in San Francisco, I think they're just about paid off that building. The $30 million a year, I think it's just about to come off the books. So there's enough in the coffers down there at Third and King to pay him. I'm just saying, he strikes me as a guy who might settle for less.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.